and see gold and glories. And see Saraswati Devi. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 14, Text Number 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Asha Vagyo Mahabhaga Bhagavan Bhutta Bhavana Haritu Shati Vishwatma Kishtato Nija Shashane Asha Vagyo Mahabhaga Bhagavan Bhutta Bhavana Haritu Shati Vishwatma Tishtato Nija Shashane Tashragyo Mahabhaga Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Haritu Shati Vishwatma Tishtato Nija Shashane Tashragno Mahabhaga Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Haritu Shati Vishwatma Tishtato Nija Shashane. Asharagna Mahabhaga Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Haritu Shati Vishwatma Tishtato Nitya Shashane Asharatma Mahabhaka Uttabhavana. Asharatma Mahabhaga Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Haritu Shati Vishwatma Tishtato Nitya Shashane Asharatma Mahabhaga Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Haritu Shati Vishwatma Tishtato Nitya Shashane. Any messages? Asharatma Mahabhaga Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Harishu Shati Vishwama Tishtato Nitya Shashane Ashragna Mahabhaka Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Haritu Shati Vishwatma Tishtato Nitya Shashane Tasya with him Tadya the king Mahabhaga O Noble One, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhuta Bhavana, who is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, Parituṣati, becomes satisfied, Vishvatma, the the super soul of the entire universe, Tishtataha, being situated, Nitya Shashani, in his own governing situation. Translation of purple by His Divine Grace, Sabai Charanadaminda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Noble One, if the King sees that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, and the Supersoul within everyone is worshipped, the Lord will be satisfied. Please repeat. O Noble One, if the King sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, and the super soul within everyone is worshipped, the Lord will be satisfied. It is a fact that the government's duty is to see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied by the activities of the people as well as by the activities of the government. There is no possibility of happiness if the government or citizenry have no idea of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Or if they have no knowledge of Bhuta Bhavana, who is Vishwatma, the super soul, the soul of everyone's soul. The conclusion is that without engaging in devotional service, neither the citizens nor the government can be happy in any way. At the present moment, neither the king nor the governing body is interested in seeing that the people are engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, they are more interested in advancing the machinery of sense gratification. Consequently, they are becoming more and more implicated in the complex machinery of the stringent laws of nature. People should be free from the entanglement of the three modes of material nature. And the only process by which this is possible is surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is advised in the Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, neither the government nor the people in general have any idea of this. They are simply interested in sense gratification and being happy in this life. The word Nitya Shashani in his own governmental duty indicates that both government and the citizens are responsible for the execution of Varna and Ashram Dharma. Once the populace is situated in the Varna and Ashram Dharma, there is every possibility of real life and prosperity both in this world and in the next. Omagyant Mirandasha Jananjanan Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitandina Tashmay Shri Devi Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karadha Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So again, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning Varnashram. As a solution, there's every in the Varnashram Dharma, there's every possibility of real life and prosperity both in this world and in the next. So Varnashram Dharma is the closest thing to the culture they follow in the spiritual world. Devi Varnashram, when Krishna is the center of all of our activities, this is the closest thing to the activities of the spiritual world. So therefore it becomes very conducive for never forgetting Krishna. If we perform this Devi Varnashrama Krishna Center, it helps us never forget Krishna. And so it's a good training for us, so at the time of leaving the body we can remember Krishna. So it's the government's duty to train everybody like this. The king is a representative of God in this world, and it's his duty to train everyone in Krishna consciousness. So he has to train his ministers, and the government has to be Krishna conscious, and also the citizens have to be Krishna conscious. Otherwise it doesn't work. Prabhupada said if everybody is not involved in Varnashram, it doesn't work. You can't have sections not involved. The whole city or the country, the state has to be more or less the whole world nowadays, because of the close communications nowadays, one world, they want like that. So it's difficult to have one small world, one ashram. The whole world has got to follow, because then they can actually live in more peaceably. So monarchy or democracy or even dictatorship, we don't really mind. Krishna consciousness is absolute. It doesn't really mind who's on the head of state. It's not that we have to have a king. King is best, and we see the kings are ruling. But it can be, even a dictator can be there. You know, as long as he's Krishna conscious. We just want to have Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is absolute. It's not dependent on a king or any title. It's dependent on a Krishna conscious person. So whether he's a dictator or a king, or he's a democracy system, it doesn't matter. You just take that system and put Krishna in the center. Have it revolving around Krishna. Then the whole thing works. Just like in this, it's in this verse. O noble one, if the king sees that the supreme person of God, that the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, and the super soul within everyone is worshipped, the Lord will be satisfied. So that's what the king's got to do, or the dictator's got to do. He's got to see the supreme person of Godhead, who's the Lord of the universe anyway, and he's the Lord in everyone's heart. He has to be worshipped. So that the leader, he simply has to understand this point and see that, yes, that Lord has to be worshipped. By your activities in this world, we have to worship the Lord. So then it doesn't matter what system of government you have, what management system of government, it doesn't matter. As long as the head is Krishna conscious. And then he can make everyone else Krishna conscious. But he has to have knowledge. He has to understand that, you know, God is the Lokaram Jagatapasham Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He is the Lord of the universe. He is his universe. His function under his control. And he does live within everyone's heart. And the king has to emphasize this point and bring it out. You know, your service should be for that person who is the controller, who is situated in your heart. Then the citizens have to follow his advice. And as a result, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is his worship. When they're seeing everyone is worshipping the Supreme, then the Lord's satisfied. When the Lord's satisfied, you have no problem. The whole purpose of the Vedas is to satisfy Vishnu. If you satisfy Vishnu, you get the mercy of Vishnu. And that's what life is all about, achieving the grace of God. Without his grace, there's no hope. So ultimately, it's the grace of Krishna, which generally comes through his devotees. This is what everybody is anxious for. So, But unfortunately, they don't have knowledge. They don't have knowledge of who is God. They don't have knowledge of who is the super soul. They touch on it, you know, some religions, they touch on it. God is in the heart. He's in your heart. But how does he look? How does he act? And no information. No, or they understand that God is the creator, the Christians. God is, he created heaven and earth and all things. How did he create? He doesn't tell you how he creates. So people are not satisfied. But Bhagavatam gives you scientific explanation how it creates, from subtle to gross. But you got your answer. This is what this Vedic planetarium is all about. We're showing people. It's a slap in the face to the atheists, to the Mayavadis, to the... They're all opposing Krishna consciousness. So we're here, we are showing. Now here is that God that everyone's talking about, but nobody knows who he is. And, you know, some, like Muslim religion, that you can't even put a form on God. You can't say God as a form. Because it's material. Their understanding, we only know material forms, therefore God can't. You can't put a form on God. So there's no real description of God. So how you can love him? He's telling you to love God, but how you can love him if there's no form? So this is what this temple will do. It will show the situation of the universe. It will show who God is. So it's answering all the questions that people are asking. People want answers to their questions. How did the material world create? Not just God said, let there be creation, it created. How? So Bhagavatam gives scientific information. So the kings, the educators, they have to have knowledge. And then they can actually govern properly. They simply have to engage everybody in the service of the Lord. The Prabhupada says the whole world can be like, come like Vaikuntha. Because this is in the spiritual world, everybody's serving Krishna or Lord Narayana. That's our only occupation. So if you do the same thing here, the world becomes like Vaikuntha. It's still birth and death will go on, but at least while you're living is Vaikuntha, and when you leave, you go back to Godhead anyway. So, this education is needed, and this is actually the role of ISKCON in the world today. It's such an important movement. Because no one else is doing it. Even those who have knowledge, nobody's doing much about it. Our international society for Krishna consciousness is more or less a process of abhideya. We're engaging everyone in devotional service. As soon as we see someone chant Hare Krishna, Nam Seva, it's the beginning. First thing we do, preach to people. You're not the body. Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. You are the soul in the body, you're not the body really. You're eternal servant of Krishna. I am. And Krishna, this is Krishna. You can show the deity or give a description of Krishna here. We've never heard anything like it before. It's all exciting, it's all wonderful stuff. So this is what ISKCON is doing. We're giving real information. So it's a movement of abhideya, process. We have sambandha, abhideya and prayojana. Sambandha means relationship. Abhideya means the process of service, devotional service. And the prayojana means the goal, which is love of God. We come to the point of loving God through this process. So, like most people, they don't even have an idea of sambandha. Who is God? They don't have that idea. So how can they get further than that? If you don't have a connection with God, if you don't know anything about him, how you can connect him? How you can have any connection? So how can they progress further? But this is the first thing we learn when we come to ISKCON. You're not the body, you're the soul. Krishna is the Supreme Person of God. You're his eternal servant. Here is God. Oh, great. Now you can serve him. Some bandha abhideya, immediate. Uh, The others, they don't even come to Sambandha. It takes them millions of lives. Even the Gyanis, Bahunam Janamananti, after thousands and thousands of being a Gyani, is searching for the truth. After that, what is his conclusion? He comes to Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Krishna is everything. He understands that God is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Samahatma, so he's very rare. He surrenders unto Krishna. There's your Sambandha, beginning point. Being a Gyani for thousands of births, cultivating knowledge. You come to this conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's your Sambandha. The Gyani. Being a Gyani, thousands of births. But you meet a pure devotee, he tells you in 5 minutes. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here is, here is. Now here's some service. Put the book bag on you. Can you, is it heavy for you? Is it okay? Can you, come out with us and we can go and do some Harinama? You wanna clean, can you help clean the pots, Prabhu? I'll be there. Immediate. This is how advanced the Krishna consciousness movement is. Because we're taking shelter of a pure devotee. A pure devotee, he shortens that time to. Prabhupada said about that verse, Bahunam Jamanantiya, thousands and thousands of births. He said, this is the conclusion of being a Gyani for thousands of years. You come to the point of surrendering to Krishna, Vasudeva said. Prabhupada said, now I'm telling you, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrender to Him. If you do that, you jump that thousands and thousands of births. Simply you heard from me, and you accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am His eternal servant. You jump, you skip those thousands and thousands of births that you would have had to take, start becoming a Gyani and going through. But this is the benefit of meeting the pure devotee, even for a little moment. It's incalculable the benefit we can get. So, so this is Prabhupada's mission. These are heavy purports. Every one is a heavy, heavy purport. Prabhupada was heavy. And anywhere you look in his book, it's heavy. And every lecture you listen to, Prabhupada was heavy. He didn't give up. He didn't give the scientists or the politicians or the... He didn't give them a chance. He was... As it is, here you want a good king. Again and again, Prabhupada's going through this, just in this section here, about the king. He has to be proper. He has to be Krishna conscious. Well, the scientists are bluffing everyone. Prabhupada didn't give up. Whoever he met, it was... So, this was Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita as it is. He came to tell it as it is. You want to know it as it is? Here it is, as it is. You can accept it or reject it, but here it is. At least understand it's available. Bhagavad Gita as it is. We are telling who is God, who you are, what is your relationship with God. We're giving you service. You can accept or not, but at least we're giving you a chance. And who else is giving a chance? No one in the world. No one. Therefore, slaughterhouse education, Prabhupada. Prabhupada used such heavy, heavy language. To get his point across, he came here with a mission. He wasn't going to become one of the peaceful gurus, grow a long beard and Om Shanti. Prabhupada came, as we heard yesterday, it's a war against Maya, and Prabhupada was a general. He declared that war against Maya. Maya hates Prabhupada. Because he's a threat. He's the greatest threat to her realm, the realm of Kali also. So this is what why Prabhupada was here. He didn't waste his time. He didn't come here to flatter anybody. He came here to tell the truth. And he was so strong. He had a good sense of humor also. It wasn't that he liked a good laugh, Prabhupada. He liked to joke sometimes. But he was very serious. His mission was serious. And he never gave up. Yeah. Like here, he's hitting it right in the head. He says that the conclusion is that without being engaged in devotional service, neither the citizens nor the government can be happy in any way. At the present moment, neither the king nor the governing body is interested in seeing the people are engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, they're interested in advancing the machinery of sense gratification. They're neither interested, governing body is not interested in seeing the people are engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is what it's all about. We're the eternal servants of Krishna. We should be engaged in service to Krishna. That is our constitutional situation. First situate yourself in your constitutional situation. Then you can see clearly. Otherwise, if you don't know who you are, how can you know anything? All your knowledge, all your speculation, where is it coming from? You don't know who you are. Put yourself in the position of servant of Krishna, then you'll see everything in focus. Everything becomes very clear. So the government's lost sight, the people have lost sight, and they're simply promoting sense gratification. But who is giving our service to Krishna? Therefore Prabhupada called slaughterhouse education. A heavy word. Slaughterhouse education. And this is factual. This is literally, it's a slaughterhouse education. Those words of Prabhupada are right on. It sounds something like, you know, it's a heavy, heavy word, you know, because you want to emphasize something, you're saying slaughterhouse education. But it's not bad. I mean, there's millions of universities all over the world that are giving people really good educations. But what is that education? Is it giving them devotional service to Krishna? Is it taking them back to Krishna? Or is it keeping them on the path of birth and death? It's simply keeping me in the cycle of birth and death. So no matter what education you get, it's a slaughterhouse education. You're simply on the process to birth and death. Yes, the animals are raised to be sent to the slaughterhouse. That's what they do. They grow. They raise animals, and the purpose of that animal's life, when it reaches a certain age, come to the slaughterhouse and have its head cut off. Modern education is exactly the same thing. It's not an exaggeration, what Prabhupada's saying. It's a slaughterhouse education. They're not giving you service to Krishna. It means you're going to stay in the cycle of birth and death. You're going to go up to Yamaraj and he's the main slaughterer. And we've been educated like this. And this is the main thing. But Prabhupada saw through this. He smashed everything. They have to give. You have to see that the people are engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of God. But who is doing that? Who is giving our service to Krishna? I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Where is my service to Krishna? Mother, my father, where is my service to Krishna? Mr. Politician, Mr. Scientist, where is my service to Krishna? I'm a child of God. Where is my service to Krishna? Mr. Teacher, Sir. Then comes Prabhupada. I've got a message from your father, Prabhupada. I've got a message from your father. He doesn't want to see you rotting in the material world. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. He wants you to come back home to be with him again. This was Prabhupada. The only person who's doing this. No one else is doing it. Uh, No one else was speaking like Prabhupada. Look what he did. Just to give us Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave up sleeping. Prabhupada said, I prayed to Krishna. I can't translate it. There's no peace in the daytime. He's 70 years old. He's just started a movement. And he's got to manage it. It's worldwide. And he's getting questions and from all sides. He said, I don't get any time. I don't get any peace. He said, I prayed to Krishna, please let me not sleep. So at night time, when everyone else is sleeping, peaceful, I can translate these books. It's my Guru Maharaj's order. And he said, Krishna gave me that blessing. He gave me that benediction. And so Prabhupada just slept a few hours, early evening, got up and the whole night, translating all these books for us. Not for himself, he's already Krishna conscious. But for us, how much concern Prabhupada had. For spreading Krishna consciousness. When we were living in the Lotus building, this was the first building we had here. 1972 we started construction, 1973 we moved in. So all the devotees were living there. It was the only building here. And so the devotees would leave. The door was open. Prabhupada was complaining to Bhavananda then. He said, why the devotees, they can't even close the doors. He said, the middle of the night, the wind comes and the doors slam shut. And it's so disturbing to me. He said, why can't they even close the doors? He said, I'm translating these books. You can see in Prabhupada's room, he's still got those old books, the previous acharyas, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Sridhar Swami. And Prabhupada would write those books open and he would read the different commentaries of the different acharyas. And he would get their conclusions. And he would condense everything, and then he would put it in Bhaktivedanta Swami purport. This is how he wrote his purports. He would study all the previous acharyas' commentaries and tikkas, and then he would put the essence of it in. And he said to Bhavananda, he said, sometimes I'm waiting for one word. I'm waiting for one word which expresses the meaning of what the acharyas are saying about this in this section. I just want that proper word to convey it in English. And he says, sometimes I'm waiting 3 days for one word. And so he said, when I hear these doors slam, he said, it cracks my heart. So this is how much concern Prabhupada had for us. 3 days. To get the right word so we could be benefited, to bring out the essence of what the acharyas are saying in their commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. So at least to become fully dedicated ourselves to Prabhupada's cause, at least we follow his instructions, become a good devotee ourselves, chant Hare Krishna. That much we can do, go back to Prabhupada. And if possible, tell others about Krishna. And we won't become as powerful as Prabhupada too. But we see many of Prabhupada's disciples, they're also doing tremendous work for taking that spirit. And you can see from their own example that they're not living for themselves, just like Prabhupada. He lived for others. Even today, some of these disciples, you can see, practically, they're not living for themselves. So Prabhupada wanted to get the leaders Krishna conscious. So Krishna consciousness, ISKCON, is starting from all the grassroots. We start with, we simultaneously we're expanding everywhere. We preach to village people, we have village programs, we have community programs, Namhap programs, we have so many student programs, we have so many scientific programs. So we're reaching out in all fields. But as Prabhupada said, if we can get the heads of state, that's much better. Even Krishna says himself in Bhagavad Gita that what great men do, others will follow. So Prabhupada liked to meet big people. So Prabhupada was doing everything. He was meeting big people. He was getting out to the nitty-gritty. Take the Nitaipada Kamalam boat, go village to village, because there's no roads in those villages, you can only go by boat. So he started that program to go Nitai on the boat, Nitaipada Kamalam, down the Ganga to all the villages that you can't get to by road and things like that. And they were chanting Hare Krishna and offering prasadam. So in all fields we are. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his song Narad Muni, Bhajaya Bina, that he said when this Narad Muni was going around chanting Hare Krishna, Radhika Raman, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when the whole world is chanting Hare Krishna, then the Vaishnava is satisfied. Before that, they're not even satisfied. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, walking on the road here, he stopped and looked up. How degraded the Kali Yuga is. Even in Chandraloka, they're becoming so degraded. He was concerned about the people in Chandraloka. And many of his disciples said he indicated he was going to go there from here, he was going there to preach in Chandraloka, Krishna consciousness. So, we'll do our little bit. This temple is going to be one of the biggest preaching assets, I think, as soon as it's completed. Because the many predictions by Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu, the Nabadita Mahaprabhu and everything, all those predictions are coming true. And then he speaks of the Adbhut Mandir. And from that temple, Gauranga Nitya Seva Hoi Vipikasa. Service to Gauranga goes all over the world. And you serve Lord Gauranga by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So the holy name, the Hare Krishna Mantra, goes all over the world. Prabhupada described it as a flood of love of Godhead. He said, periodically in Mayapur, the Ganges comes and floods. He said, this is an indication that the flood of love of Godhead will begin in Mayapur. And Nityananda Prabhu says, Adbhut Mandir. Gauranga Nitya Seva Hoi Vipikasa. It'll start from this place. So Prabhupada termed it as a flood of love of Godhead. It appears that when it happens, because it's the desire of Lord Chaitanya, pushes up the whole consciousness. It's not something that we've got to study and work it out and get it together that and become pure enough to have some realization of it, or a little, even a little taste of what love of God is. But it appears it's the cause, it's mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he just pushes the consciousness up. And people are actually feeling. Everybody has that feeling in their heart. So when you're in touch with truth, you cannot deny it. So when you're feeling something in your heart, you have to accept. So therefore everyone engages there, because it's not something they're going to have to Krishna consciousness, I'll have to read the books and work it all out. No, the holy name will be there and they're going to actually feel it. The holy name is going to come, and it appears it's going to happen like this. They're going to enthuse the holy name. It's not different than Krishna, and it's going to release his presence. You're going to feel the presence of the Lord, and everybody's going to get kind of swept up in it. It's described as a flood of love of God, and everybody gets. So it's probably something similar to when Lord Chaitanya started his civil disobedience movement to the Charankazi's place, and he went to the Charankazi with, and they were doing Sankirtan, they were completely mad. If you read that story, they were forgetting them, they were doing weird things, strange antics. They were all going crazy and chanting Hare Krishna and march off the Charankazi and kill him. So everyone was just completely intoxicated. This was actually the first day that Mahaprabhu had brought the Sankirtan mission out on the street. This was the first Sankirtan, street Sankirtan. So he was in ecstasy because that was his mission, and everyone completely in ecstasy. They all wanted to join the Sankirtan and Sri Vaishnavam, but not everybody could get there. But now everybody had a chance. They all went out in the streets and they all, Sankirtan was going on, and everyone was, they was all going mad. So then the constables come back, the Kazi, and said, you know, there's a big march, they're all coming, and you know, they're all chanting Hari Hari, and they're doing strange antics, and they're going to say, and they kill the Kazi, and there was some went in to spy as spies. They put cloth around their face so they couldn't see their little beards, Muslim beards, he said they're chanting Hari Hari, and some of these said, we go up and we sing, and suddenly our beards catch on fire. The Muslim's beard would catch on fire. So they're coming back and reporting to Charankazi, and they're telling him all these things, and everybody's chanting Hari Hari, and they keep saying Hari Hari, and Kazi says, I can understand all these Hindus are chanting Hari Hari. You can say Hindus, like, but why you keep chanting Hari Hari Hari? Why are you're all chanting? I said, I don't know, but we're there and we keep chanting Hari Hari when we're out there, Hari Hari. So even though they were Muslims, it was against, but still they got caught up in it. It was so contagious that they were all chanting Hari 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 Hari. Same thing happened in Ramakali also, when the Nawab Hussain Shah, exactly the same thing. And he said, who is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And his minister said, oh, he's just some saint, a little bit sentimental saint. He didn't want to put too much, because he had huge following, he didn't. And he's just some ordinary saint, a little bit ugly, a bit sentimental there. And the Nawab Hussain Shah said, no, I think he is Lord Narayana. He said, why? He said, because I'm paying all you so much money, all your ministers, and because I pay you, you do what I say. But he's not paying anyone. He's got thousands and thousands of people following him. I think he's the supreme personality of Godhead. So like that, it seems like an act of causeless mercy, because this is the age of it is Yuga Dharma. It has to be established, and I think it's just simply by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. It pushes the whole consciousness up, and everybody just gets caught up in this love of God. Just like when Mahaprabhu was here, he pushed the whole consciousness up, and it went all over the world. That 525 appearance of Chaitanya, and then after that. The whole world had it's called the Renaissance period, and all the great artists come out, and all the great cathedrals and all great poets and great artists. It just puts the whole country, they brought out this great, you know, this great religious thing behind it, you know, in these cathedrals and paintings. It was all, mostly it was religious. So just by the presence, so simply, it appears like this, by the mercy of the holy name, which is the savior of Kali Yuga, just pushes up the conscious, and then everybody gets just caught up in it. It's just, it's infectious. You can't do anything about it. I guess there'll always be atheists. Nanda Prabhu said, those who don't float in the ecstasy, they sink. They drown, but the devotees, they float. Anyway, it's something we're getting very close to, and we have to thank Prabhupada for this International Society of Krishna Consciousness, which is changing the face of the world. Prabhupada said, in the beginning they would laugh at us, because you've got bed sheets and some bird dropping on your nose or something. And he said, then they will persecute you. He said, then they will love you. And he said, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness will go down in history as that movement which saved millions and millions and millions of people. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. The International Society of Krishna Consciousness ki jai. Harinama Sankirtan movement ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Mithai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you. Any comment?
We were talking about Prabhupada mentioning that everybody knows this education, modern education slaughterhouse. And as far as I know, majority of the followers of Prabhupada who are dedicating their life end up sending their children to this slaughterhouse education. And disturbing the orders of the spiritual master is one of the offenses in holy name. So actually, they are disobeying the spiritual master by sending their children to the slaughterhouse. Personally, I don't want my son to go to this education, but other members of my family feel that this is the only way he can support himself. They don't have faith in Krishna. The Krishna will support. It's karma. You know, can you please explain? I mean, it just blows my mind. Hari.
Well, at least when you're with him and the others with him, you give him Krishna, you tell him Krishna consciousness. He does have the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. It's not the only education he's getting. At least simultaneously you're giving him Krishna consciousness. If he has to go to the Kami school, so that is your duty as parents, etc. You can. He still goes to the temple, he knows the devotees, you tell him the philosophy. So he has that knowledge, at least. Otherwise in Mayapur, how many schools we have? Four? Three. We have three schools here. Great schools. Prabhupada wanted schools. Why don't you come live my home? You have three choices. Best schools. Oh, yes?
Okay.
Anyway, as parents, you give your you give them Krishna consciousness, as apart from their other education. Yeah, no problem.
General. Is there something? Does Krishna know when I was trained and go back to Russia?
Does Krishna know?
Does he know when I was trained fully and go back? Does he know exactly when I would do that?
Yeah.
Does?
When you surrender, he.
Yeah, but does he know when?
Yeah, when you surrender, then he knows.
So does he know when I was surrendered?
Yeah, when you surrender. That's what Prabhupada said, when you, then he'll know.
Yeah, but then you will also know.
No, Prabhupada says here we have so much information, so many rules and regulations. You follow all these, you go back to Godhead. You follow the karmic rules and regulations, you go to hell. So Krishna knows. If you do that, you're going to go to hell. If you do this, you're going to go back to Godhead.
But does he know it beforehand?
Huh? Does he know it beforehand? Yeah. If you follow the Bhagavatam, you're going to go back to Godhead. If you follow the karmis, you're going to go to hell. So he knows.
For enlivening us. I want to squeeze the gulab for some more juice. A little bit about Krishna. When he comes, many times he comes, he might take birth in a Brahmin family, or often it's like that. Lord Chaitanya, different examples are there, but when he came as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he took birth in a Kshatriya, appears to take birth in a Kshatriya family, most of his pastimes, he enjoys childhood and those Braj pastimes taking place in Vaishya, or it's transcendental to that, but it appears like a Vaishnava. Is there some reason why would he come amongst the Vaishya peoples, and why does he enjoy there the most? We all aspire for birth in a Brahmin family or like that, but he comes and takes birth and has his joyous pastimes amongst the with the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls. So is there some, what is his main motivation? Just
yeah, it's his own choice. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the original feature of God. And from this feature he expands out into so many different other features. But his original feature is, he's a ghost, he's a cowboy, and he's in a rural village. And he has these wonderful pastimes with the gopis, who are supposedly the wives of other men. And this meeting and arranging meetings and secretly meeting, Yogamaya Devi said, Purnamasa says, it creates such a blissful festival at every moment. It's always increasing. There's all these intrigues. And so this is the original feature of God. This is what he likes. And the rural setting is a perfect setting for it. That the cows, then it means Krishna's grew up the cows, so then the gopis also go out to sell their milk or go and get water, so then the young girls, and they can meet in different places, in Radhakund and on the bank of the Jamuna, and have different pastimes. So it's not sophisticated, and Krishna can, he can do it and get away with it. It wouldn't be so acceptable in Swakya Ras, in Dwarka. It wouldn't be acceptable that Krishna, he couldn't do that kind of thing. So it's, the Braj is the perfect setting for it. It's unsophisticated, it's the village life. And Krishna can perform these wonderful pastimes. So this is the actual original feature of God, so that's how he likes it. We can't say why not appear in a Brahman family or anything like that. I guess he doesn't want too much sophistication. So this is the way he enjoys his complete freedom. This is his pleasure. That's why he never takes a footstep outside of the mind.
Prabhupada, Prabhupada says we should be Vaishnav Brahman. Vaishnav Brahmanas. And Brahman. He gives the title, we should be Vaishnava Brahma. I mean, to become a Vaishnava, you should enter onto be on the platform of a Brahman. You should be on the platform of a Brahmana. So, I was talking about this with one devotee, one scientist devotee, and he said, for the whole world is one ashram dharma, but the rigidity of the system becomes slack as you enter more deeply into ISKCON. Because let's say if you train somebody, if somebody's a kshatriya or somebody's a shudra, but he has to come to the platform of a brahmin. Yeah, so then there has to be some flexibility, you know, in this. Can you clarify on this point? Like he's saying that you have to be on the platform of brahmin, you have to, because it's in gradation. Shudra is 25% Krishna conscious, or like he said something like, Vaishya is 50, Kshatriya is 75, Brahman is 100%, because he's qualified to execute Krishna consciousness fully. So you have to come to this platform. So the rigidity deeply within the society is slackened in this. But for the whole world, it has to be more rigid.
Yeah, Prabhupada emphasizing brahminical qualification again and again throughout his books. We know it very well. So practically it does mean that one should become a qualified brahmana. Practically it means no material desire. This material desire will expanding into unlimited varieties. Because a brahmana means to know Brahman. What is Brahman? And Brahman is beyond material. It's beyond material. So you have to become actually free from material desires. Then actually Krishna consciousness will begin. So it'll come automatically if you're a sudra or a vaishya or a kshatriya. But if you're following the principles of Krishna consciousness, you're absorbed in executing the order of the guru, the sound vibration of the guru, and then automatically that will be achieved without separate endeavor. That will come automatically, Krishna consciousness. You hear from the words of the pure devotee, Guru Mukha Padma Bhaka Chiteti Kriyayaka, and you act in accordance with the instructions of Guru, whether you're a Vaishya Sudra, etc. like that. And those, that activity and your consciousness, because you're not deviating from his instruction, that sound vibration will actually bring you above the material platform. You'll be out of material design. Then you actually Then you begin your Krishna conscious action, because now you can first deserve, then desire, Prabhupada said. So at least if you've got no material desire, then you deserve some spiritual activity. So yeah, more or less, we've got to do it. We've got to come beyond material desire. It doesn't mean if you don't, you can't go back to Godhead. If you're remembering Krishna at the time of leaving your body, Krishna's promise you'll go back. So even if you have some slight material desires there, if you realize at the time of death that they're all insignificant and a waste of time, and you really focus on Krishna, and Krishna says, then you're going to come back to me. But if you want to manifest those desires, you still have a desire to manifest the, then you have to come back, Prabhupada said. From that, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to set examples. He said, if you don't do, there's a famous lecture in Mayapur with Hari Surya and Satsarup. And He said, if we don't do it, Prabhupada was saying that not everybody has to get Brahman initiation. And Hari Swami said, but you know, who wants to remain a Sudra, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, no, you're not Sudra. You're above even Brahmana. If you're doing your service, you're doing it for Krishna, so you're not Brahman. So it's not necessary when one gets a sacred thread and becomes a Brahmana. You can work, plow the fields and things like that. The idea is that you're Krishna conscious. So he said, just like a king, an actor is acting on a stage as a king. He's not a king, but he's acting like a king. He said, so similarly, he said, you're acting as you're part of the one of the Vana Ashrams, you're acting in that capacity. But your consciousness is Krishna consciousness. You're identifying as a Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra Brahmana. You're identifying as Krishna's servant, but the activity looks like the activity of a Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra like that. So Prabhupada, he said, if you don't do it, who will do it? Who will set the examples? That's why he wanted, because the material world, nobody come here to surrender to Krishna. Completely the opposite. They came here to enjoy the material world. So we can't go and tell everyone to surrender to Krishna. The material world is not for that. So then have Vana Ashram, at least put them in under the protection of government, king. And so Vana Ashram is a system of sense control. By slow degrees. Just by following that system, you'll control senses. You rise from Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, yes. Just by following the system, you'll automatically control mind and sense control. It's a built-in control system that Krishna has given us. But of course, we shouldn't be identifying with it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he classified as a necessary evil. Vana Ashram is a necessary evil. Because the last thing we want to do is to classify someone as a Brahmana, Vaishya, Sudra, Grihastha, Vanapra. That's not our identity. That's the last thing we want to do. But it's necessary, he said, to establish it in society so people can have a proper system to follow. It's not a speculative system. It's given by Krishna. So therefore it's necessary, even though it's evil in the sense that it's keeping you in bodily consciousness, because we're not Brahmanas, we're not even men or women or anything like that. So the idea is that we're Krishna conscious. So we're acting in a certain way which resembles the Vanas and Ashram, but our consciousness is we're identifying ourselves as a servant of Krishna. We're not identifying ourselves as part of the Vanas. It would be better to come out into to the Brahman platform, but who can do that? Not everybody can do that. So administrators, they're administrating for Krishna. I mean, there's plenty of bloodshed here by these Krishna conscious kings. They're not frightened of bloodshed. They're not, oh, we want to become Brahmanas. They have many Krishna conscious kings. As long as they do their management for Krishna satisfaction, it's like this very verse here. As long as the king knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he's a super soul, and then he engages everyone in the service of God, then he's an administrator. Then he's a first class Krishna conscious king. He has to use violence sometimes. He has to deal with a mode of passion. Killing is a mode of passion. He has to do it, but he's doing it as a Krishna conscious governor. So as long as Krishna is there. Yes,
Hare Krishna, I have a question from Rajendranandan from the internet.
Rajendranandan Prabhu ki?
First he says, thank you for the wonderful class. And then he's asking, did Srila Prabhupada say Maya, who's a pure devotee, hates him, or any other pure devotee?
Did he say?
Did Srila Prabhupada say that Maya hates him, or any other pure devotee? no. consideration that Maya is also a pure devotee.
No, Prabhupada didn't say it, no pure devotee said it. I said it. Rajendra Prabhu, Hare Krishna. I use the statement in relation to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on Manashika, Raghunath Das Goswami's Manashika. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he has to get rid of this deceit, isn't it? The seed is in the heart. The seed is this baka demon, the bird, big bird demon. He represents the seed. So he said, because you're taking shelter of guru and the guru gives you instructions, then sometimes you do the opposite to the instruction. It means you're being deceitful. You say one, yes, I'll follow. Then you do it. You're being deceitful. You're doing something not. So he said, so Maya is coming, because she's also deceitful. She's deceiving us into thinking we're this body. She's very deceitful. So Maya is coming and trying to make us be deceitful to a guru. You know, here is enjoyment. She's offering you sense gratification. It's her business. It's her service. So he says, when you see this happening, how Maya is presenting sense gratification, and you're becoming, you're tempted, so deceit, you're being deceitful. He said, then you should call. How to get out of the situation? He says, you call very loudly the name of the guru, the devotee, the acharya, very loudly. And in this way, Maya will go. This is a very, very practical thing. You try it next time, it's 100% foolproof. When some material desire is attracting you, you shout the name of your guru or your someone you follow, you have great respect for, shout his name very loudly, please save me. And immediately that Maya is gone. It's 100% foolproof. You just shout it out, the name, Prabhupada. Whoever you take shot of, immediately it flees away. So therefore Maya hates Prabhupada, because we shout Prabhupada and she's gone like anything. This Maya, she doesn't hate, she doesn't mind super soul. She doesn't mind, because super soul will give you, Prabhupada will give you three chances, three warnings, don't do it. But you're still persistent, then okay. Then the super soul will actually sanction, okay, you can do that activity, you want sense gratification. So Maya doesn't mind Krishna, because she can get around him often. But Guru, he will never say that. He will never say, give a chance. Immediately he will. He doesn't give three chances, immediately. Where is that Maya? Prabhupada. He will come chasing Maya. She's dead scared of Guru when you call him, because she's public enemy number one for the Guru. Guru, come for this business. To kill Maya. To expose Maya. There's a beautiful song by Jayadev from England. He made one LP on Prabhupada's song. And one lining it, and Maya's web lies undone at your lotus feet. It's a song, I Never Knew You, it's called. Very beautiful. And Maya's web lies undone at your lotus feet. This was Prabhupada. He actually... The net was... She couldn't throw nets anymore. Maya's web lies undone at your lotus feet. So like, this is Prabhupada's business and Guru's business. Chase is like anything. Maya, she's gone. As soon as you chant his name, Krishna, she's not really scared of. He will sanction eventually. So Guru, he will never sanction. Maya won't go like anything. So therefore, number. She hates Prabhupada. Hare Krishna Vyanja Prabhu, all glories to your service in the USA. Hare Krishna.
Just thanks for the nectar.
Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.